If you watch Girls on HBO, you know Adam Driver. Adam plays Adam, the on-again, off-again boyfriend of Lena Dunham's character, Hannah.
You're the best thing in my life. I don't know how to behave without you. I'd die if you go away.
I don't want to be with you.
You do. We laid right there in that bed a month ago, and you told me if you ever broke up with me that I shouldn't let you.
Since it first appeared 2 years ago, Girls has taken off, and so has Adam Driver's career. He's been all over movie theaters this year, the cover of GQ in September, and he's going to be in the new Star Wars movie, out next year. Driver is 30 now and relatively new to acting. His career was delayed by what might seem an unlikely diversion, the United States Marine Corps.
It was right after September 11th, and I wanted to be involved and serve. That coupled with the fact that I wasn't doing anything. I graduated high school and was just working a bunch of odd jobs to try and survive, you know, living in the back room of my parents' house. And I felt if I was going to join the military, then I'd join the toughest one. So that's why I joined the Marine Corps.
Driver was in the Marine Corps for 2 years. Then a mountain biking accident left him with a broken sternum. He was placed on limited duty and eventually medically discharged.
All my friends went overseas, and I kind of stayed in the rear with the gear, which really sucked. Plus, I just never got a chance to go over and do my job with the people that I had trained with from the very beginning.
You know, there's a common story for a lot of Marines. Tom Ricks wrote about this in his book, Making the Corps, about this doesn't have to do with combat, just the transition back to civilian life. They get kind of disillusioned from all the shallowness, the mundaneness of civilian life. And I'm wondering, having gone from the Marine Corps into the entertainment business, is that something that you felt?
Oh, completely. And plus, in the Marine Corps, everything kind of has meaning associated to it. And you have a rank in the military that you've earned that suddenly, you know, you don't have in the civilian world. So, you know, don't you know who I am? Or, oh, no, you don't, because my rank isn't here. And nothing has meaning in this world. I think that's why, for me, theater was that thing. You know, I was lucky to get into school here in New York at Juilliard, and through kind of playwrights and characters at plays that had nothing to do with the military were describing my military experience in a way to me before was indescribable. And my problems are small compared to people who did go overseas and have a mental or physical injury.
So how did you get into Juilliard after getting out of the military?
I kind of had a moment of clarity when I was in the military. We had a training accident that happened early on where we almost got hit with white phosphorus, and that was the first time anything like that had happened to me. And I kind of made a conscious decision. The two things I wanted to do before I died was smoke and become an actor. I don't know why those were the two things that kind of came into my head. Since stop smoking, because it's not good for you. But I knew that Juilliard was supposed to be the best school. And I thought, the Marine Corps is the best. Why not try for the hardest school possible to get in? I can't imagine doing that now. But then I thought civilian problems were pretty small. So then I just kind of auditioned.
Let's talk about the nonprofit that you started. It's called Arts in the Armed Forces. Tell me what it does.
Basically, my second year at Juilliard, I did notice a change in myself. Yeah, really being exposed to these playwrights who resonated with me. I kind of regretted not having that kind of exposure to theater or self-expression or just language when I was in the military. I wanted to share that with the military audience and reach out to different, you know, kind of veterans organizations. Or was like, is there a way to bring theater? And everyone, people were just kind of telling me that, you know, theater didn't fit the military demographic. They wanted to see the San Diego Chargers cheerleaders. And so I felt like, you know, as infantry Marines, we were capable of handling something a bit more thought-provoking. So I tried to create a project in my second year where we just took monologues, just diverse monologues that are diverse in age and race, like a military audience is, and keep it very pared down. No sets, no costumes, no lights, just actors just reading the material for a military audience. And they're not necessarily military themed. A lot of them aren't.
And you've got a special performance that you're putting on for Veterans Day. Can you talk about that?
We do. We've been doing one performance a year here in New York City. This November 10th, we're reading Our Lady of 121st Street by Stephen Adley Gurgis at Studio 54 as part of our annual fundraiser to go overseas at the end of the year, which is what we've been typically doing. Last year we went to Germany. This year we're going to Japan and Korea.
So I'm sorry, but I got to ask you about Star Wars before I let you go.
Okay.
Is there anything? Can you talk about it at all?
I can't.
Can I ask you if you've been working on sword fighting skills?
I can't.
Let me ask you. I think I can ask you kind of a broad question, which you can probably answer. And that's that, you know, you've had this breakout success, you know, through Girls and other films. Girls kind of, it was its own thing. But Star Wars, you know, that's something that's this huge cultural product that carries a lot of weight. Do you feel that heavily as you go on the set and think, holy cow, I'm in Star Wars?
Yeah. All the time, especially at the beginning. You know, I'm weary of anything that big. I feel like I'm used to working on projects where, you know, we're doing a take and they're like, actually, can you keep that cigarette? Because we only have so many cigarettes to use in the scene. Where suddenly, like, it's so big that you feel like you'll get lost in it. But again, I think it was just back to story and character that, in a way, it's, you know, of course, it's completely different than Girls. It's a, you know, it's a long time ago in a galaxy far away to start. But at the same time, if you think about, you know, breaking it down into moments and then just playing those moments and making them make sense as much as possible, it's actually not that far off from Girls in a way.
It's just kind of funny to think of a line coming out of this that Star Wars, it's kind of like Girls.
It's just like Girls. Everyone's naked.
That's Adam Driver, who is in This Is Where I Leave You in theaters right now. He's going to play somebody in Star Wars Episode 7 sometime next year. Adam Driver, it's been really fun speaking with you. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise.